From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
A joy that seeks me through the pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. So I trace the rainbow through the rain. I feel the promise not in vain. Then morn shall tearless be. Rejoice. Rejoice, my heart. Rejoice, my soul, my Savior God has come to thee. Rejoice, my heart, you've been made whole by a love that will not let me go.
A love that
cross that lifts and holds my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. So I lay in dust, life's glory dead. From the ground there blossoms red. Life that shall endless be. Rejoice, my heart. Rejoice, my soul, my Savior God has come to thee. Rejoice, my heart, I've been made whole by a love that will not let me go. By a love that will not let me go. Oh,
the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Joanne Saylors. I will introduce myself a little bit more later, but it's always nice to have a name when someone starts talking. So, when I read today's gospel lesson, or really all of Mark's gospel, I start thinking, you know, that Jesus was a workaholic. Up to this point, he's been preaching, teaching, healing, driving out demons, sending out the disciples, and doing everything at high speed, because everything he does in this gospel, he does immediately. By this point in his ministry, he's got to be tired. And ditto for the disciples. They've been on these weird out-of-town trips, staying with people they don't really know. I mean, that's tiring, right? They're always teaching, healing, casting out demons themselves. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while." Rest. A break from all the bustle and activity. Rest. A chance to renew, to stop, to slow. Rest, a break from work, if only for a little while. Rest, an opportunity to stop doing and to simply be. Rest, what a beautiful word that is. So much is packed into that simple invitation, and I have to say I've been a little surprised at my own strong reaction to it. Now, maybe it's because I'm about to start several weeks of time off, yay. Maybe it's that I have filled my life for years, I suspect, but especially lately, with so much activity, so much work, so many obligations, that the very idea of rest is just enough to seize me and hold on. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I love my life, and I am the kind of person who would much rather be busy than not. Anyone who knows me even a little would back me up on that. But upon reflection, and this time it was while I was sitting in traffic on 610 with some enforced rest, it struck me that somewhere in all the moving and learning and doing and traveling and visiting and all the other things that make up my blessedly hectic life, I might have forgotten how to rest. And I suspect that I'm not alone. Maybe you know someone like that too. Maybe you are someone like that. Now, we're all familiar with commandment number 4, keep the Sabbath holy. But lots of us interpret that as just one in this nagging list of don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Or we make the assumption that keeping Sabbath just means coming to church. Professor Rolf Jacobson points out, though, that this commandment would have been unbelievably good news when it was given. Imagine how a teaching like that would have sounded to people who were recently enslaved, whose time was never their own, and who never ever had any kind of guaranteed period of rest. Wait a minute. Jacobson imagines them saying upon hearing the Ten Commandments read. You mean we get to rest? You mean we have to rest? Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And I wonder why we don't think of it that way. After all, more and more of us find ourselves in a place a little bit like the Egypt where the ancient Hebrews toiled. But there's one important difference. Our bondage is self-constructed and self-imposed, which makes it a lot harder to even notice, much less change. We are bound to ideas about success, which means we don't put limits on our work. We're bound to ideas about our children having every conceivable opportunity, so we schedule them into frantic, overbooked lives and then wonder why they can't focus. We are bound to the belief that what helps churches grow is more ministry, more programs, more work. But he said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. It's not just an invitation to take an afternoon off or go on vacation, although they may be important elements of rest. This is an invitation that goes deeper. It's an invitation to loosen our shackles and climb out of the cages we've constructed from a culturally fed belief that more is the ticket to success and work is the ticket to more. This, instead, is an invitation to rest and to trust in God's provision. Now, the lectionary here puts together two pieces of Mark's gospel, but takes out what's in between them, which is the feeding of the 5,000. That comes up next week in John's gospel. And what is the feeding of the 5,000 but God's abundance? About God taking the little things that each of us brings and brings them together to create great things. In God, the not enough becomes the more than enough. We have all that we need and then some. And that, I think, is the key thing about Sabbath rest. It invites us to step back and to stand apart from all the things that usually drive and consume us so that we might see this abundance. It gives us space and time to detect God's presence and providence and blessing, to dwell in the contentment and to give thanks. He said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Okay, God says so. Rest. But then if you're anything like me, you hear that command and you buy into it in theory and then you try to do it and you don't do it very well. I end up looking for loopholes. I say things like, well, you know, okay, that is all good. But that's not what Jesus is modeling in our passage today. The disciples come back. They don't even have a minute to eat because of the crowds coming to see Jesus. And sure, Jesus invites the disciples to rest, and so they go to the wilderness. But the crowd gets wind of it and beats them there. So Jesus skips rest period and starts teaching. And then the missing part of the text, as I said, is Jesus feeding 5,000 people. That may well be about God's abundance. But where's the rest in that? Is God sending a mixed message? Does Jesus here say one thing and do another? Fair questions. And here's how I think Mark's gospel answers them. Jesus does believe in rest and Sabbath. But even more than that, Jesus believed in caring for others. He is, after all, the shepherd to the flock, including the lost sheep. The commandments aren't just a list of rules, but a way for God to relate to us and for us to relate to God, how God cares for us. So Jesus does take time to rest and pray. He just doesn't do it when others are hungry or in need of healing. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sends his disciples ahead of them while he goes up on the mountain alone to pray. And it's a rhythm we see throughout his ministry, back and forth between serving and Sabbath. Time to care for others is followed by time to rest and to hear God. Now that rhythm gets interrupted and things get mixed together when the sheep most need their shepherd. But it's still the underlying pattern of Jesus' life, and it's meant to be the pattern for ours. We don't have to choose between work and rest. We're called to balance them. Because both work and rest are ways of hearing God, of glorifying God, of pointing with our lives to God's abundance. Each is important in its appointed time. Being intentional about rest is actually being intentional about ministry. Because ministry is just work when it hasn't been informed by the communities taking time to hear God, which requires being still. How could we possibly have the strength to do all the, frankly, challenging things God asks us to do? And how can we discern how to do them faithfully if we don't pause to rest in God? So we should, and we will, go forth from here to serve. But let's just make sure that we take time to heed Jesus' invitation as well. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.
Oh, heavenly day, all the clouds blew away. Got no trouble today. It's enough for me, baby. It's enough for me. Oh, heavenly day, heavenly day, heavenly day. Tomorrow may rain with sorrow. Here's a little time we can borrow. Forget all our troubles in this moment so few. All we've got right now, the only thing that all that we really have to do is have ourselves a heavenly day. Lay here and watch the trees sway. See no other way, no way, no way. Heavenly day, heavenly day, heavenly day. No one at my shoulder bringing me fear. Got no clouds up above me bringing me tears. Got nothing to tell you. I've got nothing more to say. Only I'm glad to be here with you on this heavenly, 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 heavenly day. Oh, all the trouble. For oh, heavenly day.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.